and welcome back to another episode of Why I Hate This Movie. I'm your host, Derek Rios, and with always, my co-host and heterosexual life mate, Danny Newton. How are you doing today, Danny?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Derek?
I'm fine. So today we're talking about the 1999 movie Inspector Gadget.
Certified blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Dude, it was so good, it warranted a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, we got definitely two made. This is based off of a early 90s cartoon. I'm not sure exactly.
It's older than that. I'm pretty sure it's older than that.
I remember watching the cartoon growing up.
Yeah, this felt like some 80s stuff. It felt like that period of animation that bridged the 80s and the 90s. It had the same feel to it as like the generation of Ninja Turtles and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Pretty much the whole formula of the show was you had evil, mysterious bad guy, the Claw.
Yes.
And this inspector who's just a $6 million man, like RoboCop-esque, just goofy, quirky uncle.
Not really. I wouldn't even say goofy or quirky. It was kind of like the absent-minded detective.
Yeah. Well,
it was.
So he's supposed to be kind of, I mean, he's dumb.
Yeah, he's completely oblivious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as he goes around and gets in all these shenanigans, his niece and the dog's name is Brain and can talk.
Yeah, Penny and Brain would solve all of his cases for him.
They would solve all the cases, and then he would swoop in and get credit.
Yes.
And then just by pure luck.
But he would literally pick, you know, it'd be like, oh, he would pick something up off the ground, like, oh, a clue. What could this mean? He's kind of absent-minded. He has no idea of, you know. It's always Penny and Brain solving everything.
Yeah. That's why the dog's name is Brain.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty simple formula.
Yeah.
I don't remember hating it as a kid, but it wasn't a show that I was like crazy about.
It was something you kind of just watched in passing. It's like, you know, you're getting ready for school or something, and this happens to be on.
Well, it was a Saturday morning cartoon, which they make the joke of that in the movie.
Yeah.
So.
It's not anything you, roped off a part of your day to sit down and watch. Right.
Definitely not waking up early to catch this one.
No.
So this movie stars Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Notorious murderer Matthew Broderick.
What?
What?
Did he murder somebody?
Oh, you really don't know?
No, I don't think so.
What was it, in like Ireland or Scotland or something like that? He murdered somebody in a car collision.
Oh, the car wreck.
Yeah.
Well,
that was in Europe, right?
You know, that's not technically murder. It's vehicle manslaughter, but...
Yeah, in 1987, he was in North Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has their moment when they get their first kill.
Sure.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, he was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and then other movies, and then he did Godzilla, and then this was the year after Godzilla.
Has Matthew Broderick ever been a good actor?
No.
I don't feel like he has either.
Pretty much after Godzilla than this, he hasn't been in much. He's done a few like TV roles and a few unknown movies, not really big.
You know, because everybody that grew up in the 80s and 90s knew Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? Well, you've watched it at least once, but I don't feel like he was the strongest part of that movie. He just happens to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just one of those single-minded, like, okay, he can do comedy and he's goofy.
He's very milquetoast. He's very white bread. You know what I mean? There's no...
Meryl Vanilla.
There's no substance there.
I remember seeing him as a villain in something, and he did fine as a villain. He plays evil bad guy decent.
Yeah, he should, since, you know, he's killed people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Haven't we all?
But this movie really did Inspector Gadget dirty. It did it bad. Real bad.
Did it, though? Was the show any better than this?
I feel like the show was better than this. I feel like the show was a lot better than this. Because, I mean, the show was formulaic. But that's all this movie had to be, was formulaic. They didn't have to do anything amazing.
The problem is, outside of, you know, the bad acting over the top, which is supposed to be goofy and for kids, right?
Yeah.
They do so many jump cuts, I'm guessing, just to edit to help with editing,
dude. There's
in the special effects.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they do.
It's a bunch of jump cuts.
It's jump cuts because
shaky cam.
Like he'll pull something out from off screen, right? This is supposed to be one, like one of his gadget things.
Yeah,
right. It's just they can't afford to do the special effects. So why are we doing it?
Well,
we're jump cutting so much, I can't focus on what the fuck is on the screen. I have no idea what's going on half the time in this movie. And it's beat me in the face with it, but it's not making any sense.
Yeah, you get a bunch of like zoom ins and shaky cam. And then on top of that, after the entire movie, there's just random fucking noises.
Oh my
playing
God, dude.
Constantly. Because he's made out of gadgets and everything. Every time he blinks or looks in a direction, you get a noise for that. And it's just, it's a fucking headache.
I do feel slightly nauseous after just watching this.
I 100%.
Yeah, I feel slightly nauseous. It's almost like motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I'm coming out of motion sickness. But all we really needed was a bad guy, a plot device, and then let the movie go. And they couldn't do that. I don't understand why.
Well, they had to do an origin story, right?
I guess.
They didn't do that in the show.
No, not at all. There was no origin story for him. He was who he was, right?
No, we got a RoboCop origin story.
I want to feel like all the devices that he had in his cartoon weren't necessarily so much a part of his body. I thought some of it was in his coat and in his hat and stuff like that. I thought it was in his clothing as well. But everything in the movie that he does, it's inside of him. How does he reload?
I don't know.
Does he just eat nuts and bolts? I don't understand what's going on here.
He's made up of 90% toothpaste.
Oh, my goodness.
So when they build him, they bring in a bunch of water hoses and slinkies.
They shove random trash into
him. They bring a pallet of slinkies in there and then some mouse traps. And then that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah. It's like, it looks like they upend like the back room of a Toys R Us into him, right? Just random shit. Just throw it in there.
Because he's supposed to have all non-lethal gadgets.
Yeah.
That was the thing about Inspector Gadget.
He's not combat oriented.
Yeah.
This stuff is just supposed to aid in his investigations.
For some reason.
Yes. So, I mean, like some of it made sense. Some of it didn't. We saw him use devices at one time that he just actually needed to use in other circumstances and just didn't. It's like when he was getting pulled by the car, right?
Yeah.
He was hanging on to the bumper. He didn't deploy his roller skates, even though not 20 minutes ago we saw him do Go-Go Gadget skates or whatever, and he was on like rollerblades. It was stuff like that.
Maybe you just got to chop it up to him not knowing all the stuff he has, because he hasn't read the manual yet. He's just literally every situation, he just says, Go-Go Gadget, random object, and then something happens.
Yeah. The cartoon wasn't this bad.
No.
I mean, yeah, it was still forgettable, don't get me wrong, but it was not offensive like this. This is rough.
So it starts off and he's dreaming. We get some like cop porn dream.
Yes.
Where he's just effectively Superman saving the love interest, who's the scientist who builds him.
Yeah.
Brenda Bradford.
It's very like, bro, she said no.
Yeah,
right.
Well, eventually, you know, you keep saying, if she keeps saying no, eventually it'll turn into a yes.
Oh my God, it's still just because you finally browbeat her into saying yes doesn't mean she actually wanted to say yes. She just wants to just go ahead and do it and get rid of you.
I mean, she did build him. it's kind of like a bond there where you create her machine bond. Like she fall in love with her creation, right?
She had zero bond with him. Given the first opportunity to drop him like a brick, she took it.
Yeah.
Completely gone. Peace out. See you later. I'm going to go work in this other lab where I'm completely funded for the rest of my life. I don't have to worry about money ever again. And I don't care about you. Bye. Yeah.
Well, you know, she knew that he was going to be fine on his own.
Or as you say, love interest. Air quotes, love interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason she chose him is because he seemed dumb enough and have enough heart. He runs off of heart, apparently.
You got it completely wrong. The only reason she chose him, he was the first dead body she come across.
No, no, he had lots of heart, and he tried to save her father.
Oh, well, see, her father was avenged, shot through the heart, so he didn't have any heart left.
So, yeah, the whole thing starts off, she's a scientist, I guess, working for the city.
Yes.
Creating a robot army police force.
Right, right.
And then her and her dad's working on in this foot they have, and they're just trying to make a foot move through brainwaves.
Right.
And I guess that's what sparks this whole thing. They never explain any of the science besides insert random, like,
term. They're trying to create Neuralink.
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah.
Of course, Matthew Broderick's character, John, Uncle John.
Yes.
He's a security guard there.
Yes.
And just creeping on her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He gets rejected pretty early. And then the bad guy shows up to steal all the stuff in a remote control van with the robot army.
Right.
This whole movie.
Okay. It's all right.
He crashes the van into the building and the robots come out, murder the father and steal all the shit. While he's just wandering the parking lot, wondering what happened, when obviously he should be able to see this van crash into the building he's guarding.
Right. So I think about robots, right? And the best example we have is RoboCop. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have RoboCop made out of a dead cop who's a good guy, but you have the bad guy robot who's made out of a convict. And as soon as they turn on the bad guy robot, he just blasts, just Swiss cheeses the CEO or mayor or whatever of Detroit, right? I feel like that's what should have happened here. They should have turned this guy on and he should have just Swiss cheese somebody in that room.
Well,
I mean, fuck Andy Dick. Why not? He's not fucking doing anything.
He wasn't even in the last half of this movie.
Dude, he wasn't. He didn't show up at the end of this with like the Henchman's Club or nothing like that. He was not. Yeah.
So Andy Dick plays the evil bad guy, Mr. Claw. He plays his scientist.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's dumb.
Even though he's not that dumb, because you think about this, okay? Bad guy scientist doesn't know. Well, he's not a bad guy scientist. He's just a scientist. Claw is the bad guy.
Yeah.
So Claw goes and steals like the bionic foot and crap like that from the good guy lab, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Andy Dick over here has already made him hands and robotic parts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need this foot. He can already do the job.
It doesn't run on its heart or its own function, okay?
Fuck. He can already build this stuff.
He could build robots that function on their own.
So there was no reason to go murder
No, it's different. It's the heart machine.
Corporate espionage does not work like this.
Uh-huh. You hire the person you're trying to steal all the stuff from.
You know what would happen?
They already stole their stuff
in corporate espionage. The mayor would be like, oh, man, we need to get you some staffing to get this project underway, right? So part of the staffing is like, Andy Dick's character gets hired to do corporate espionage and steal their microchip design.
Yeah.
Duh. Like that. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a storyline that makes sense. Oh, no. We can't fucking have that.
No,
fuck us. Like, this movie, it's angrily insulting. Oh, man.
So after they steal the stuff, we get this car chase scene. And he dies effectively. They blow him up.
I'm glad he's dead.
Well, they bring him back to life for some reason.
No, that soulless thing is not him.
Penny, I hate to say, I think your uncle's dead.
She's just dead behind the eyes. I don't know what this fucking golem is walking around your house, but it is not your uncle. You should be terrified.
Yeah, they choose him for the project. The whole scene where he's just learning to walk again, I guess, and just he wakes up and he just can't function. And I don't, it's just.
It's okay. Tell me how you really feel.
I don't want to do this. It's just noises. It's just Matthew Broderick just flailing around the whole fucking movie and just stupid noises ADR'd into it. And I don't fucking care. I hate this movie so much.
Oh, there you go. There we go. Now we've hit the real meat and potatoes, okay? Fuck it. Fuck the story. The story does not matter. It does not matter. So go ahead. Open your heart. Open your heart and let that hate out, okay?
All right. The whole story the bad guy creates after he steals all the shit.
Yeah.
In all of her research, he creates an evil version of RoboCop.
Yeah.
That has fake teeth and goes around and it has weapons. And it just goes around and just burns half the whatever shitty city they're in. What do you think this is?
I don't know.
Cleveland? That's how it looks originally.
Oh.
So it just burns half of the city down.
Yeah, you would think that. I mean, I get it. It's a robot, right?
Yeah.
But this thing isn't made out of like next level materials. It's made of like plastic and shit. The cops could shoot this thing down.
Well,
they have enough guns. They could eventually just Swiss cheese this thing till it falls over.
You don't see a single the whole time it's out there just. Killing, slaughtering people wholesale, burning the city down. You don't see a single cop at all trying to stop this thing.
Oh, man.
You see the mayor running. Mm-hmm. The only cops you ever see when he shows up at the police department and all the cops are just in there chilling like none of the shit's going down.
Yeah.
They haven't got a single call from anyone in the city. They're just all in the HQ, just chilling, like nothing's happened. And then he finally comes in and just starts torching the place.
So this is a children's movie.
Yeah.
What age range of child is this for? Because I feel like
3 to 4.
It's got to be, right? It's got to be fucking toddlers.
It's got to be, yeah, under a teenager, 12 and under.
If your kid like Baby Shark, they're going to love this. It's full of dings and whistles and bonk noises and just...
Constantly.
Dude. Could you imagine watching this in theater? It'd be excruciating.
Mm. I feel bad for any parent that had to sit through this with their kid. I mean, I remember watching it on VHS, but I didn't go watch this in theater.
This wasn't even like a full 88-minute runtime. This was only 78 minutes. How did this get a sequel? This couldn't have made that much money.
It's probably a straight-for-TV sequel.
Oh, man. Matthew Broderick's in the sequel.
It's Disney. Dude. Broderick needed the paycheck.
Yeah, I guess so. So, the first thing they do is show you Claw's face.
Yep.
And that's the first gasp even after all the annoying shit I endured in the first 5 minutes, my first like heartbreaking gasp was like, why... Why are we seeing Claw? We're not supposed to see Claw's face. We're only supposed to hear Claw's voice, see him stroking his cat, and giving orders to his henchmen.
Yeah.
You know, he's supposed to be like an underworld kingpin, right?
No.
He creates these scenarios, he creates these crimes, and then sends his henchmen to do them.
He's just evil billionaire Jeff Bezos in this.
Yeah. He's literally evil billionaire Jeff Bezos, which, you know, compared to Jeff Bezos, this dude is fucking broke.
Yeah.
Because I think this guy only had like $10 billion on his ticker going up.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Bezos made that before he fucking drank his coffee this morning.
This is in the 1999.
You're right. So this is when Dr. Evil was trying to get $1 billion.
Well, 1 million. Well, that was the 60s Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, man. This could have been so simple. It really could have. It's painful. And the thing is nobody would have been mad. If they literally would have made, let Matthew Broderick be Inspector Gadget, but essentially have him be kind of like Penny's sidekick, that would have made sense. Because that's kind of what it was supposed to be. Because even though, like we said, he was taking credit for solving all the crimes, it's actually Penny and Brain solving everything. So he was just essentially like, you know, the gadgets that Penny needed to solve the fucking case.
Yeah.
That's all this needed to be. And it should have been something stupid, simple, easy.
I mean,
it should have been geared for a kid more. It should have been like a logic stream a fucking 10-year-old could follow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This was nauseating. God damn, this was bad. I don't get it. This should have been such an easy fucking layup. In and out, hour and a half, I mean, fucking done.
You base it off a show that's mediocre and you get not great actors.
Granted, I don't know a lot about the source material. Yeah. So I don't know if there's like a more menacing underling or something like that for Claw than the rest. You know what I mean?
No, all of his underlings are real dumb and generic.
When you look at like, you know, what is it? Batman's Rogues Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those guys are more menacing and deserving of a movie than others.
For sure.
And then some of those guys are just sidekicks to the characters that actually deserve the movie. That's all this needed. This could have just been that. Just fucking pick one. Pick one that was a slightly more evil than the rest and had more motivation than the rest. You ran this TV show for years. There had to have been somebody, you know?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you a single bad guy from that show. I couldn't either. Cole.
I could not either because, like I said, whenever I think about this show, it's kind of a blank slate, right?
Yeah.
I didn't hang on to it like I hung on to other things. But, man, this is insufferable. Fucking insufferable. I'm glad Matthew Broderick doesn't have a career anymore.
Whoa, bro. He's still in stuff every now and then.
He's not a good actor. Everything he's in is fucking terrible. Name a good Matthew Broderick movie.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, but like I said, he didn't make that good. The only good movie I can think of that he was in, it wasn't even because he was in it. It was because of the supporting cast, is Glory. Glory was the only good movie I can think of that he was in. That movie was good because every black actor in Hollywood was in that movie. Everybody. Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he's really only been in a bunch of TV shows since then. I mean, he's done a few things, but he was actually, I think this year he came out in a movie called, the J-Law movie that Jennifer Lawrence, No Hard Feelings. So that was supposed to be kind of funny, but I don't know how big of a role he has in it.
I don't know. But,
oh, War Games. He was in War Games. That's right.
God.
And then Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but that's about it. Anyways, get back to the movie. Enough fun hating on Broderick.
Yeah.
The villain also made a evil cyborg version of Brenda, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just to, I guess, bang it.
Yeah, he wanted a sex bot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up. It's okay.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's fine. It's a very fucked up thing to do.
Yeah. And he just lets it roam around. You think he's hiring this person to come work for him that maybe he should at least keep it locked up in his room.
You would think that it wouldn't be sentient. You know what I mean? You would think, yeah, it would have an on-off switch.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, man. I couldn't imagine walking around your house and just opening up a random closet door one day and just seeing a fucking life-size robot of me in your closet. I would instantly assume that you're fucking it. And I think I would be 100% right.
I don't think I have to worry about that. I'd probably, if I had that technology, first of all, I'd be super rich. But yeah. Second, I think I'd build a robot of someone that looks a little bit better than you. So
I'm just saying, that's the scenario that this doctor goes through. She's literally walking through this guy's house and finds a life-size robot of herself. It should instantly hit her mind like, oh, he's having sex with this thing.
Nope. That's not PG.
Oh,
this movie. Guess how much this movie cost?
Oh, this movie. Yeah, this movie cost a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it cost. Let me do a rough estimate here. Probably at this time, probably $3 or $4 million for Matthew Roderick. Got D.L. Hughley doing some voice acting for a couple million.
Yeah.
You got Penny, those up and coming actress in this, for at least $1 million.
D.L. Hughley, we forgot, is the car, the gadget mobile.
Yeah.
He's a voice for that.
The car is completely racist.
Well, yeah.
But that's beside the point. I imagine this movie probably costs like $50
million. 90.
What?
90 million. There's a lot of special effects.
God, dude. 90?
Domestic gross was 97, and it made 134 million worldwide.
Bro, that's so many people. The theater was so much cheaper back then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It didn't earn a sequel. There's no way. Because after advertising and stuff for this and sending people out on, like, you know, photo ops and crap.
Well, you gotta remember, Disney's bread and butter is toys.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it made a bunch of money off toys. So the movie just net positive. It's like, whatever.
Do you think?
Just neutral, and then everything off the toys made money. Yeah, I had stupid Inspector Gadget toys growing up.
I never had any Inspector Gadget toys.
Yeah, I mean, everyone had the stupid helicopter and shit. It was like this stuff would pop out of them.
No, I never had any of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I remember the McDonald's toys, too. That's some random little McDonald's toys and shit.
This was in 1999. I think I would have remembered toys from this. I just draws a blank. But I never watched this, so.
Yeah.
I didn't know how bad this was until we sat down an hour and a half ago.
I'm sorry. I tried to warn you.
Dude, at least it was short. At least it was so short. I felt like I was watching just slapstick from the worst YouTube channel I ever saw in my life. It felt like jump cuts. Anyways, I don't really have anything to say about this.
Is there anything that you liked?
Is there anything I liked? Well, like I said, I told you I loved the fact that the car was a lowrider and shit.
Oh, the car looks sweet.
The car was gorgeous.
I loved the colors, actually, yeah.
And then, you know, immediately after we saw just a gorgeous Dodge Viper.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that, but that's not really, that doesn't count.
Hmm.
I mean, it'd be like, oh, man, I like this movie because there was a fucking, like, there was a paperweight on the desk that was really cool, right? It's nonsensical.
The Go-Go Gadget Mobile is a big part of the show.
I will say, when we were sitting there watching this, the thing that intrigued me most was the very end panel when they were doing the henchmen's recovery group.
Yeah.
And we sat there trying to decide who all these different henchmen were, because there were so many henchmen in this that I recognized, but mm-hmm. I can't put a name on.
Yeah, it was actually interesting. They decided to put real henchmen in there.
So that 5 seconds is the most fun I had with this movie.
There was one aspect of this movie that I did like.
Yes.
And it's mainly because, which it brought back some mixed feelings, Michelle Trachtenberg's character, Penny.
Yes.
I had a big crush on her as a kid. She's mm-hmm. a big, she was a Disney movie actress growing up.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Harriet the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since Harriet the Spy, I just always had a huge crush on her. And then she did...
My first interaction with her was Eurotrip.
Eurotrip. And then...
But she was in a bunch of TV shows.
She was in a bunch of Disney stuff, right? She was just one of those...
Well, it's not even Disney stuff. Like, when I looked up her filmography, she did... I guess she was a character in Buffy. Mm-hmm. That was probably like a walk-on, walk-off character. And she had a character on Weeds. It was probably the same thing. Walk-on, maybe an episode
two. She was in one... Part of one season, she was like a love interest for one of the sons.
Okay.
But yeah, and of course that was around right after Eurotrip, and then kind of towards the end of her career. She also did 17 again,
mm-hmm.
where her dad is played by one of the Friends characters or Friends cast members, and she's trying to bang her dad the whole movie. But she was gorgeous in that. But yeah, she's the same age as me. She's 37.
She was like... I mean, now, she was really like nerd girl hot in Eurotrip.
Yeah.
She
and really was. I always had a big crush on her growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's probably the only part of the movie. It's like, oh man, I forgot. It's like, yeah, she, I wish she was still around doing acting. Like, she was pretty good actress back in the day. I always enjoyed her. But
it's just, Disney just does this to kids.
Oh yeah, they churn kids out.
They fuck, like, they chew them up and spit them out.
Yeah, they just all have drug addictions.
I mean, and that's why Miley Cyrus lost her mind, right?
Well, you know, she's still hanging, swinging from balls, naked and stuff. Yeah, it's okay.
But I'm just saying. She's fine. I mean, like, when you think about them, like, what was it? Like, Justin Timberlake was a Disney kid, right? Britney Spears was a Disney kid, right? Which this girl was. There's just Disney fucks up child stars.
Well, there's a lot of them that have some bad issues. There was the, I think it was Wizards of Waverly Place recently, where that one, the guy that was the one of the characters in that was a monster, and he was also the director and stuff. And there's a long list of, like, I mean, it's just, I think it's a social aspect of it. It's not even just technically Disney,
yeah,
per se. It's just the social aspect of growing up and this fame as a kid. You're not a normal person.
You're the product.
Yeah.
You're the product. Your parents are just so happy for you to be there because they're making all kinds of money off of you. They're
selling you.
Yeah. And
you don't have a normal childhood. You don't know how to interact with people. And then most of them just lead to a drug addiction.
You have no agency. You read your entire life off of a script. And you are whatever character that you're playing.
Yeah.
And when that's gone, you don't know who the fuck you are. You know what I mean? It's really messed up to do to a kid.
There's very few child actors that transition into adulthood doing well.
Yeah.
And most of them are still strange people. Like, you got, like, you know, like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Barrymore is she got a really early start too. More than not, a lot of them doesn't go so well.
It's a hard thing to recover from, not being yourself for your entire childhood.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing redeeming about this movie. There's nothing redeeming about this at all. It's trash. It's trash from start to end.
It's rough. Don't watch it. I hate it. Just a 9 out of 10.
Man, if it wasn't D.L. Hughley being the car,
yeah,
this would have been a 10, right? Because then it would have been just been completely racist on top of everything else.
They also had a racist moment where they're running from the evil version of Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
And he's doing like a monster thing where the shadow, casting shadow on the wall, and had an Asian guy running by, a Japanese guy, and said, he's yelling, Gotcha! And I left, and it gets subtitles. It's, it says, I left Japan because of Godzilla. And
yeah.
But, you know, it's a little racist joke there.
It's funny.
Godzilla.
Yeah, you're right, man. This is a 10. This is unwatchable. I mean, at least Jack and Jill was watchable.
Oh, God, was it?
No, it wasn't. Like, this.
At least Jack and Jill didn't make me have a headache. At least it didn't give me a headache.
Yeah, no, Jack and Jill still gave me a headache. This is really bad, though. This is bad.
The fun box was in there. Fun bucket.
You're right. It did have fun bucket. And one Norm MacDonald is plenty of reason to watch anything. This was just, yeah, this is 10. It's that bad.
I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Not necessarily for racism, but this was so irredeemable that I can't say anything good about it. That's tough. That's fucking terrible. Like, I can't think of one good thing. It ended. That was the best part. It was finally over.
Well, now we can go watch the second one.
No. No, no, fuck no. I don't know if I told you this, but I canceled my D+ account. Like, while we were watching this, I was like, no, don't need this shit anymore. Oh, cancel.
It's okay, because I got mine again.
Oh, fuck. But.
All right.
Yeah, man, that's all I got.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit us up on our other platforms like Spotify. And, yeah, leave a comment or something.
Sure, man. See you later, guys.